Greetings, everyone. This is Eric Andelin, Senior Workflow Specialist with SimActive, and you're joining us for episode 22 of the Pixels and Points podcast, Photogrammetry in the Cloud. Is it a good idea? And with me, I have my guest, Vivian Rye-Bourdais with SimActive. He's actually on the other side of the world. And as he'll mention, he has been named the cloud processing guru at SimActive. It's not his fault. But anyhow, Vivian, say hi to everybody.
Hi, everyone.
Perfect.
I'm really excited to be here to talk about cloud computing. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So for our audience, Vivian and I converse back and forth via Slack and so forth in meetings, but we've never really met in person, I don't think. But Vivian's been with the company actually a bit longer than I have. Vivian, why don't you introduce yourself and tell everybody what your role is with SimActive?
So yes, I'm Vivian Rye-Bourdais. Thanks, Eric. I'm very happy to be here. I'm the Senior Sales Advisor at SimActive. I've been working with SimActive for about 5 years now, maybe a little more. And but I've been in the geospatial industry for about 20 years. So yes, very, very excited to talk about cloud computing and how we can use correlated 3D on the cloud.
Very good. And you know, honestly, having been in the business for quite a while and been involved with SimActive myself, both outside of the company and now with the company, everybody's talking about, you know, how to process faster, how can I process in different ways. And cloud processing is one of those things that I don't get too deep into. I don't really understand Instagram. I'm not sure I'll ever get TikTok. And I'm sure I won't figure out cloud processing, but that's why we have you here. So for everybody, let's talk a little bit about the topics. So the topics we're going to cover are: what is cloud processing and what are the platforms? Considerations in using cloud processing versus local. Challenges and costs associated with the cloud. And then processing time gains. Yes. So what is cloud processing and what are the platforms?
Okay, so I looked up definition for cloud computing, and it's the on-demand availability of IT resources over the internet. So basically what that means is instead of buying hardware like computers, storage, servers, you access all of this via data centers, via the internet, and you only pay for what you use when you use it. In our case, what we do is for Correlator 3D, we would access a Windows virtual machine that has a usable GPU via a remote desktop and install Correlator 3D on this. And you'd access this just like you were accessing your computer in the office from home via remote desktop, except here, the computer is sitting in a data center somewhere. Once you set it up, you upload your data, and then you process it, and you transfer the data back to your computer or directly to your clients. And you do this just as if you were doing it on a physical workstation, except it's on the cloud.
So really, it's one step beyond network processing in that the network doesn't actually exist in your facility. It's a machine outside of your facility. You know, it could be anywhere on the physical planet located through the cloud.
When we talk about networked options, a network option is actually a kind of license that we use in Correlator 3D. And you know, with Correlator 3D, the typical way of running a your project is you run it on your desktop, and you install Correlator 3D on your desktop. You run your project on the machine, and you're done. But with a floating option or a network option, you have a license that's installed on a machine, but this license is visible to any machine on that local network. So as long as you have Correlator 3D installed in any of those machines, you can those machines can see or check whether there's an available license on the network and make use of that license. So it's accessing a license via a network. Here on the cloud, you're going to use a network license, but And the license could be sitting on a license server in your office, or it could also be sitting on a license server on the cloud that you host. It's a little different from the way we handle network licenses on a local network.
Okay. And then what are the more popular cloud processing platforms, and is there a recommended one?
So most of our clients use either Amazon Web Services or AWS, as it's often called, and Microsoft's Azure. There's also Google Cloud, and there are a few other providers, but most of our clients use either AWS or Azure, and they're both really good, and very comparable. So it's usually one or the other. Both have their advantages and disadvantages. For example, when we get into looking at how we set up an instance, we're going to see that setting up an instance on Azure with a GPU driver is really, really easy, whereas with AWS, it's a little more involved. However, with AWS, you have things like S3 buckets, and you can, share your data via S3 buckets. There's a lot of functionality that you can add with AWS.
Okay,
That's
cool.
usually one or the other that you're going to choose.
Yeah. I mean, is security an issue? I mean, when the customer chooses this again is not our choices. When the customer chooses this, for whatever reason, they I mean, I'm sure they go through criteria on their end to say this works for us because of these reasons, and maybe one, has to work in a secure environment, maybe one doesn't. I don't know.
Well, no, they're both really very
Okay.
secure, and virtual machines have all the security that you have on a standard Windows computer. You can tighten up firewalls rules to only let certain types of network activity to your instances when they're running. When you create a virtual machine, you create a username and a password, so that's protected. You can install antivirus programs if you need to, but then again, these are virtual machines that you're going to be using just for processing data. So you'll turn them on, you'll run your
Right.
data, you'll run your project, and you'll switch it off. So you don't really need an antivirus on that. And at a global level, most providers have third-party auditors that regularly test how effective a provider's security is. So
Okay.
these are extremely secure systems.
So we're really thinking of these things. I mean, you can think of it as a computer or an instance, but really it's just a processing power horse that does just that. You're not going to see other things on this, but one, I mean, there are other reasons, and we'll get into them here in a bit, but you're strictly using it to process data. So you shouldn't necessarily have to worry about
Exactly.
that type of security. Okay. What are the considerations in using a cloud processing solution versus a local solution?
Let's look at it in terms of advantages to start with. There's no capital expense when you choose a cloud computing setup. If you need access to powerful, scalable hardware, or if you need access to this hardware for sporadic periods, that's when cloud computing is a really good option. For example, if you're starting up in photogrammetry and you've just bought a drone and you've won a project and you don't really want to block a substantial amount of your funds into buying expensive hardware that you may need just for that project, and you have a really quick short turnaround time. This is an excellent case for cloud computing because you choose the instance that you want, you set up the storage space that you need, install Correlator 3D, run your project, transfer the data onto your small little PC at home or directly to your client, and then switch off everything or kill the instance, and you don't pay for anything anymore beyond that period. That's one advantage of cloud computing. The other thing is that it's instantly available. You have a project now, and you're doing your calculations, and you realize that I need a few terabytes of storage space, or I need, more computers to run this because I'm planning on running this via distributed processing mode. In that case, you may not have the hardware with you. You may not have the storage space with you. You may not have a physical location where you can put all of these computers. You may be on the move. In this case, again, cloud computing is excellent because you'd set up your instance, throw everything up, process, and then and kill the instance after that. So that's another advantage. Things like there are places where you're going to have power fluctuations, and especially in some countries where stable electricity is a challenge, or you're on field and you may have access to internet, but your electricity situation is not very good. In this case, upload the data to the cloud. You know that your instance on the cloud is going to have stable electricity. You're not going to have power fluctuations, and your project's going to process smoothly. Apart from that, some of our clients don't use Windows machines. They run exclusively on Mac. But they love the advantages that Correlator 3D provides, and Correlator 3D works only on Windows. So in this case, again, install it on the cloud and process your data on a Windows instance on the cloud. So that, there are many advantages to that cloud computing has over standard, workstation computing. You can also easily share data across regions. So, some of our clients, they have projects running in one part of the world. They have their drones working there, but their processing teams are in a completely different part of the world. In these cases, the drones capture data on site, and the data is fed to storage space on the cloud. Processing teams can then access this on the cloud, process it on the cloud, and then download results onto their machines wherever in the world they are, or send it to their clients, which could be back in another part of the world. Some of our clients take it even further. What they do is, because everything is running on the cloud, and Correlator 3D also allows you to run to be run in a scripted mode, you can actually script the entire process from setting up your instance via script to running Correlator 3D, creating a project, running those processes, and then downloading your results onto another server somewhere else completely automatically.
So really, you talk about the only thing you have to worry about is getting your data uploaded to the cloud so that it can process. That's not too bad. You've actually kind of piqued my interest there, because I always thought that cloud processing was for the large players, the people that were processing huge amounts of data. But what you're saying rings true about the small guy, who may not have the hardware or the ability to invest in the hardware, to equal the speeds that they want to process, yet they get a big project. And if it's really that easy to create the instance on the cloud and let it run from up there, and then again, like you said, shut it down when you're done, that seems like a really, really good option, even for the small data processor. So now let's talk about the challenges and costs associated with the cloud. What are those?
The first hurdle is to figure out how to create a virtual machine. There's a lot of variables in here. You need to know what kind of instance is going to work for you. With Microsoft, we generally use the NV series. With AWS, you use the G5 series in general. But you do need to know how which instance you're going to use. You need to know how to install your drivers. Some of these can be a little challenging. For example, with some providers, you need to drop into PowerShell to actually download the drivers from the provider directly and then install it. So that takes a bit of getting used to in the beginning. So once you get past the challenges of learning how to set up your virtual machine, the other thing is the complex costing. There are, again, many variables, instance sizes, storage spaces, the storage that's provided with some instances. Some instances come without storage spaces. Those storage spaces cost money. Mm-hmm. You may need to add more storage. There's also bandwidth costs associated with not transferring data into the virtual machine, but transferring data out of the virtual machine. And all of that can eat into your budget. But then a lot of providers also provide spot discounts, and these can be an excellent way of reducing your costs. But you have to remember that spot discounts are basically offered because you're making use of the provider's excess computing capacity that's not being used. So when the provider does need to use it, say somebody's going to pay full price for it, you're kicked out. You're evicted from your instance. So this is a great option for when you have large turnaround times. You don't mind if your instance is going to be interrupted because your data is saved. And with Correlator 3D, again, you can always start from where you've stopped, you know, so you don't lose anything. So, and also if you're going to be testing your projects out, you're testing out, you know, whether you've flown your data well, then spot discounts are a great option. Also, the chance of being evicted when you have a really tiny instance or a virtual machine is quite low. But if you're going to be using something like 36 CPUs to process a large project really fast, then going with a spot option can be a little, you know, dangerous. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's complex costing involved and getting your head around how much it's going to cost you to actually run your project that takes some getting used to. Then when you're starting up, you may not have access to the virtual machine that you need. So, you know, first you navigate through the plethora of virtual machines that are on offer, and then you choose one, but then you realize, oh, I need to, you know, request a quota increase for that machine. So you need to get around that also. But that's generally resolved within, you know, 24 to 48 hours. And you get access to the quotas that you need. That's some of the challenges that you may face when you're getting into cloud computing in the beginning.
Again, for our users, we all know that Correlator 3D is GPU intense, not CPU intense.
Yeah,
I imagine that has something to play with when you're picking your instances and so forth.
Exactly. So not all instances are going to work. You need to have a GPU enabled instance, and not all GPU enabled instances are going to work either. So, you know, you need to have the right drivers, the right kind of GPU, and then it's going to work fine. So it boils down to either the NV series on Microsoft's Azure or the G5 or the G4 series on AWS. You're going to pick, you know, one of them. And then you size those instances based on the size of your project and how fast you want them to be to, you know, process. So you'd either go with, you know, something like 4 CPUs for really small projects, or you could go up to, you know, 36 CPUs if you need, and, you know, process your large projects really, really quickly.
So again, that leads to the next question, which is, you know, what do we expect for processing time gains? Is it better than a local instance or a network instance? What are the challenges when we're trying to understand our time gains?
So are we going to gain time in processing on the cloud? Most likely yes, but that is if you haven't already invested in a really powerful workstation recently in the office. We're going to see a graph in a little while that shows you the kind of time the processing time that you can see on various types of instances and how it compares to a really good computer in front of you. If you don't have a really state-of-the-art workstation, or if you've got a really, you know, small computer and with a weak GPU, and yes, cloud computing is going to be fantastic. You're going to get, you know, phenomenal time gains in your projects. Again, it also depends on the bandwidth available to you, because you need to upload all of your data. Consider this, a couple of thousand images, a stable internet connection, uploading and downloading is not really significant. But if you have a small internet connection and you have a few hundred thousand images at 42 megapixels, it's a completely different story. See, if you have, say, 10,000 images at 42 megapixels, you have to upload up around 150 gigabytes for your raw imagery. You process this without compression, you're going to get something in the range of 2 to 2.2 terabytes of uncompressed raw orthos and DSMs and DTMs. Now, downloading all of that onto your computer with a small connection is going to chew into the time that you gained with your high processing instance, you know? So you need to weigh those options. But if you have a decent connection, you upload your 10,000 images, you process this, and you've got this really huge data set that you've got now, you know, results. And now you're going to transfer it directly to a client. In this case, you know, both Azure and AWS, they have high bandwidth speeds. You can transfer this directly to a client, maybe put it on a Google Drive. You could put it on WeTransfer. Yeah. Or, you know, if you want to get a little more involved, you can actually store it in an S3 bucket that's from AWS and provide these files directly to your client via that S3 bucket. So, you know, everything's contained there.
Again, it goes back to the backbone in your decision-making and setting up the instance. Those are all things to consider, especially as your projects get bigger. Because again, like you said, 10,000 images, not such a big deal. 150,000 images, you're going to need to have some bandwidth. Yeah, understood.
Once you get past those challenges, the cloud's fantastic.
Right. So it's just getting through that first hurdle of how do I get my cloud stuff set up? How do I, license transfers and all that stuff. And then once you've done it a few times, you're probably like, okay, this is cake. I know how to do it. Like you said, a lot of our power users and a lot of our users in general, when they find out that you can script this whole thing and batch it and let it go, man, that talk about freedom. Yes. That's some really fun stuff.
You know, go ahead. One more thing with this whole cloud computing thing, you can actually set up an instance via script in about 3 to 4 minutes. And if you've already, you know, got an image of your correlated 3D, installation and all your parameters all set up, 3 to 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, you're up and running and you can be processing your data. So, once you've done this a few times and you've, automated it through a script, it's really, really simple, yeah.
Right, so you're going to spend more time uploading and downloading your data than you are actually getting things going in the cloud.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, all of this that we've talked about still comes to the one question, which is cloud processing really worth it? And Vivian, as we close out here, what are your thoughts?
I've got a little graph that can help us in discussing this a bit.
A reminder to our listeners, this podcast comes from a workshop that was recorded earlier. There are visual components to that workshop. You can find that workshop on our website, simactive.com, under the Learning tab.
If you have sporadic projects or you don't want to make a sizable expenditure on hardware immediately, then yes, the cloud is an excellent option. It's extremely flexible, and if used right, it can be very economical. Transferring results to clients or archiving them at really low costs are all a breeze when you're doing it with cloud processing. But if you've got a lot of projects, if you've got large data sets to process and you do this all the time, then the price of a well-designed workstation can be recovered in, I'd say, about 100,000, maybe 200,000 images when you compare it to the price of a relatively high-end virtual machine. If you look at the graph, you see, the first two bars talk about, speeds of a laptop and a really good workstation. A workstation of that size, you'd spend maybe $2,000, depending on where you are, maybe $3,000. And if you take, a really good sized virtual machine, you'd process 1,000 images for just under about $30.
Wow.
So in other words, 100,000 images and you've recovered the price of your workstation already. So large projects, maybe, spending that extra money and getting a really good workstation in your office is a good idea. The other thing that you see in this graph is choosing a cheap virtual machine or an instance is not necessarily going to save you money, because storage space attached to virtual machines are expensive, and depending on the size and the type of SSD that you choose. If you look at the graph with the NV4 AS V4 instance, you'll see that it's a very low cost virtual machine, but processing takes 8 hours for 1,000 images at 42 megapixels. Mm-hmm. And you need to provision storage for that period. And then you're going to, you know, transfer data out of that instance onto a desktop or somewhere else, and that's going to cost money as well. So altogether, that's still quite an expensive option. Whereas if you choose something that's a little more expensive, maybe at or you choose another virtual machine, it's not really that much more expensive. But if you use something like the NV36, it's a powerhouse, it's a power horse. And it processes, you know, 1,000 images in just over 1 hour. You do spend a little money on the instance itself. It is a little more expensive, but you get your results really quickly. You have the ability to process large projects in very, very short periods of time.
To me, you take away quite a bit of the scariness of working in the cloud, which is fantastic. And let's not forget our developers in the background, Louis and the team, who have, you know, written Correlator 3D so that, you know, it works as robustly as possible in any environment. Then you can really blast through projects with Correlator 3D, writing a batch program to start it, writing a batch program at the end to send the data where you want to send it. Fantastic. That's a great way to go about processing quickly. The same, it sounds like, goes for cloud processing. If you can go ahead and, you know, wrap your head around building the backbone, selecting the right machines and instances, determining what kind of volume of production you're going to need, how fast you want that out, considering storage time and all of that, you can really, really process data quickly, efficiently, and at a very low cost. You know, thanks for giving everybody an introduction into how we might do that in Correlator 3D. So with that, I'd like to thank Vivian for joining us. I'd also like to thank you, the listener. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share on social media. And also, this podcast, our webinars, our tutorials, and our knowledge base are all available on our website, simactive.com, under the Learning tab. Thanks for joining us again. Until next time.